the house of the Lord with us today. We're glad to have Brother George with us. It is Brother George, isn't it? The only reason I said that, people have two first names. Sometimes I used to work at a place, and I worked with a man, and his name was Travis Gordon, and I worked for a guy, and he'd always get it messed up. He'd call him Gordon Travis. He'd tell me, "You go help Travis," and I'd say, "Well, who is that?" We'd go around and around, but the Lord's good to us. Good to have Brother George with us today, and my goodness, there's old Kim back there. Glad to see her this morning. All of our visitors, we appreciate you being here today. I'll read you just a little scripture from the book of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Father, we thank you this morning. We have this opportunity to come and worship and praise and enjoy fellowship with your people. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you sent your Son to be our Savior and our Redeemer. And we ask you this morning, Lord, that you might take our words today and use them as encouragement. Use them this morning to challenge us. Use them this morning, Lord, to comfort and to convict. Whatever our heart needs, Lord, we pray that your word and your spirit might this morning be upheld and Jesus Christ might be exalted. We ask you now that you give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, whatever said here today will be said this morning through the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. I heard about a preacher, and as a lady was going out one day, she said, "That was a mighty fine sermon." And he said, "Well, ma'am, I have to give credit where credit's due. It was due to the Holy Spirit." And she looked at him and said, "Well, it wasn't that good." So, but today is our annual homecoming, and I'm glad that you're here. I sometimes like to hear that song about the little mountain church, and it talks about that that's where they learned the word that their life was based upon. This morning, when your life is based and your foundation is based upon the Word of God, then your foundation is secure this morning. It's not going to fall during the storms and trials and tribulations of life. And as we think about home, somebody said, "You can't go home again," but I'm glad that you can go home again. I'm glad this morning that I'm headed toward home. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. My citizenship is in heaven, and my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I'm headed this morning to a place that Jesus talked about here for in John chapter number 14. As we're gathered here today to worship the God of glory, as we're here this morning to bring attention not to ourselves, but unto him who loved us and gave himself for us, I want to just think just a minute what Jesus was teaching us here in this passage of Scripture. Very familiar passage today, but Jesus here teaches us something that I think sometimes I miss and I kindly forget in the hustle and the bustle of life. And we get so busy sometimes we forget what God has done for us. We get so busy that it kind of slips our mind and goes into the backside and the recesses. And we don't take time to reflect upon what God has really done for us this morning. We read here that Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. And you know, Jesus was really a homeless man. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. But this morning he's talking to us here and he's going to tell us that he has become our home. When the time come for Jesus to leave this earth, he knew that we this morning would be homeless without him. He knew these disciples would be lost and homeless and hopeless without him, with really no place to go. They would be rejected by a cruel world. And as he explained to them in John 13 about his going away, Peter, of course, wanted to know, why, Lord, can I follow you now? In verse number 37 of chapter 13, Peter said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus, I'll die for you. But you see, Jesus, looking into the recesses of Peter's heart and knowing what was lying ahead for not just Peter, but for all of his other disciples, gives him some words of encouragement here and gives him some words of rest in our text this morning. He says very simply, let your heart be not troubled. You know, sometimes we have troubled hearts. Our hearts get troubled about many things today. Sometimes our hearts are troubled over tragedies. We're troubled over the crisis and the circumstances of life. We look around the world in which you and I live today, and sometimes we get all troubled and worked up about it. Now, I'm not saying this morning we shouldn't be burdened. I'm not saying this morning that we shouldn't have our care and we should not be concerned. And that's not what Jesus is telling us here, but he's saying that our hearts do not have to be troubled no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Several years ago, I heard Dr. Shelton Jones say, to the Christian, bad news is always good news. Because he said, Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice, because I'm about ready to come back. The time of your redemption draweth nigh. Well, when you get up in the morning and you turn on CNN or you pick up the local newspaper or you listen to Fox News Network, you listen to the commentaries on the radio and you look around at all the evils facing our world, and you can say, praise God, my redemption is drawing nigh. Right. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God. I know you believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Put your trust and your faith in me. You see, that's where our home really is today, is our faith in Christ Jesus. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. Well, I'm glad there's a lot of them today. There's not just a few of them. There's not 144,000 of them. There's not, this morning, a number that you and I could ever number. They're not just there for a certain number of people. But this morning there are many mansions. They're innumerable. They're there for all who put their faith and their trust in Christ Jesus. And this morning we are headed toward that mansion that Jesus has prepared for us. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. I go. I'm going to do the preparation. We need to understand what he's saying. You see, Jesus prepared our mansion. He prepared our abode in glory this morning by going to the cross of Calvary. It was necessary this morning for Jesus to die on Golgotha's hill that you and I might have a home in heaven this morning. And he's saying, I'm going to suffer. I'm going this morning to shed my blood. I'm going to die in agony and pain upon a cross. I'm going to be mistreated, but I'm doing it for you so that you can have a home in heaven this morning. We come and we enjoy meeting with God's people. We come here to a homecoming and we see again old friends and we have times of fellowship and fun. And all of that is wonderful and glorious. But can you imagine the homecoming we can have one day when we meet Jesus? When we enter that pearly gate. And we're going to be able to do that this morning, not because that we're good and kind and compassionate, not because we're doing all kinds of good works or we've done some kind of religious ritual, but we're going to enter that golden street and walk upon it because Jesus Christ was willing to go to Calvary and die for our sins this morning. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's Jesus' promise to us this morning. See, the Father's house has many mansions. And Jesus promised this morning is to come for his bride, for his church this morning, and to those who love and who love him, and take him home this morning where there'll be no more strife, no more abuse, and no more loneliness. We can read something about that heavenly home that we sing a lot about this morning, and we sometimes think about. We can read about a little description of it in the Word of God. I don't know this morning that we can adequately ever describe what heaven really is going to be like. Besides being beautiful for situation and the joy of the whole earth, we find that as you read about that place, there'll be absolutely no more sadness. We'll not be sad there anymore. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more grief. We won't have to go to the lonely cemetery because there'll be no cemeteries in heaven. We won't have to go to the funeral home because there'll be no funeral homes in heaven. We won't have to go to the jailhouse because there's no jailhouses in heaven. There'll be no sorrow, no sadness, and no grief. Well, I'm looking forward to that day this morning. There'll be no more pain. Well, when I was a young fellow, I read that and I didn't understand it completely. I understand it a lot more this morning. Amen. Well, the older you get, the more pains that occur. The more creaks and the more squeaks. And, you know, you get up in the morning and you think, I need to oil myself down with WD-40 before I can get out of bed. Amen. I had one eye operated on here a little while ago, as you know, and they're going to do the other one this week. And I asked the doctor, I said, will I be able to do what I could do when I was 20 years old? He said, you might be able to see, but you still ain't going to be able to do what you do when you're 20 years old. And I said, well, thank God, I really didn't want to. I see these kids running around here and sometimes I used to think, boy, I'd love to have their energy. Then I got to thinking, if I did, I'd strip two gears. Amen. Pain. Oh, that's going to be gone. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. No more pain. I think it also has to do this morning with our heartache pain. You know, we have heartaches. Things this morning. No more disease. No more thieves. It's just going to be a glorious, joyous place, yes, where the Lamb of God is the light. Amen. I used to like to hear the inspiration sing that song, touring that city. Because you see, some morning you're going to find me touring that city. Amen. Where the Lamb of God is the light. Going to have plenty of room. Everything's going to be for the Lord. That's going to be a great homecoming, isn't it? And it's all because Jesus was willing to die. Because he was willing to become our home. Right. Jesus, on occasion, called himself the Son of Man. That's a title that really defines a special aspect of his messiahship. The Son of Man was to send to the earth from the right hand of God in heaven for a twofold purpose. To reveal to us the Father. He is the revelation of God. One of his disciples said, show us the Father and it will suffice us. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible says he's the visible image of the invisible God. If you want to see what God looks like this morning, read the pages of the Word of God and you'll find Jesus Christ is the visible image of God. And he came to reveal this to this world, the Father. The Father's love and his mercy and his grace is revealed through Jesus Christ. And he came to save the lost, to redeem the souls of mankind. You would really expect that when he came, that there would have been a grand celebration upon the earth. It should have been a glorious homecoming when the Son of Man came back to this earth. But what he received was hardly a homecoming welcome. In fact, as you read the story of his birth, you find there was no place for him in the end. Only this morning a stable to where he might be born. We find the Bible tells us the king tried to kill him before he was out of diapers. John tells us that his own people reject him. He came unto his own and his own received him not. John 7 tells us that even his own family didn't believe in him. It was a scandal in his hometown and they really tried to throw him off the face of the cliff. John the Baptist doubted him. Many of his friends deserted and betrayed him. The religious leaders hated him. The masses that he healed called for his crucifixion. Even his disciples split and went their separate ways. He was called a demon-possessed lunatic. And when Pilate asked him where his home was, Jesus said that he'd come from the Father. It's no wonder that as we read the pages of God's Word, we find him woefully teaching the few followers that he had left that foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He suffered everything that we suffer and much, much worse. Besides that, his entire life had been an internal struggle between his calling to humanity and a desire to go back to glory. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat, and his sweat became blood. And he cried out to the Father, let this cup pass from me. You read about that in the scripture and you think about the cup that Jesus was about to drink from. Him who knew no sin was about to become sin for us. And he looked into the bitter cup. He looked over into that cup that he was about to have to drink. And there was all the sins of humanity, all the blackness and the evil, everything imaginable that you can think of today that's despicable was in that cup. And Jesus looked into that cup and he said, Father, if it could make any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he looked into that cup. And he said, thy will be done. What was the Father's will? You know, sometimes we hear a lot about God's will. And I'm not here today to talk about all of his will. But understand this, it's his will this morning that none perish. For God is not long-suffering concerning his promise. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul wrote Timothy that God, who wants all men to be saved. This morning the Father's will was to redeem humanity, was to bring them back into the family of God, to bridge the gap between God and man, and to this morning send out his love through Jesus Christ that they might be reconciled unto him. That's God's will today. Well, I look around this world and we see a lot of things, but you know what God's will still is today? To reconcile men unto himself through Jesus Christ. Right. That's the message of the church today. That's my message, and that's the message of the gospel. That Jesus came and drank of the bitter cup that he might reconcile men unto himself. Thank God today Jesus was willing to go to the cross. You see, he descended this morning that we might ascend. He became poor that we might become rich. He was born that we might be born again. He became a servant that you and I might become sons. He became hungry that we might be fed. He was thirsty that we might be satisfied. He was stripped that we might be clothed in his own righteousness. He was forsaken that we would never be forsaken. He was sad so that we could become glad. He was bound that we might go free. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He came down that we might be caught up. He died that we might live. And he came to no home that you and I might have a home eternal this morning. Jesus Christ is our home. And we're headed for that place where we can dwell with him eternally. There's a song that I used to hear some, and it says, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Well, I can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. So don't be discouraged with trouble in your life. He'll bear your burdens and move all misery and strive. You've come this far by faith. You see, this morning my faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. My faith this morning is, as he said here, in I believe in God and I believe in him. And he's went to prepare a place for me. In verse number 4 he said, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. Amen. Not only that, he's the only way.
Amen.
No other way. Thank God this morning that we don't have to look, we don't have to search, but we simply have to put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And the grand thing this morning is his will is still that all who come unto him can come this morning. And he'll save to the uttermost. This morning, Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He's everything that we need. He's prepared for us a place through the cross of Calvary. This morning, we should never forget that. You know, I look back and I think of all the things that happened to me in my life. And sometimes I forget about that wonderful day when Jesus saved me. You say, how can you forget that? You don't really forget it, but, you know, you kindly push it back. It's just kindly let the burdens, the strife, and the cares of this world kindly move in. But this morning, oh happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. You know, and I think about this church today, and I think about all the people that's been members of this church and came through the church and are still here today. All the memories you have and all the memories I have, how wonderful and glorious they are. But none of it would have been possible without Jesus. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have a church. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have a Savior. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have an eternal home. Without Jesus, we'd still be lost and without hope in this world. This morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Redeemer. And we pray this morning that you know him and that he's yours. But if you don't, the wonderful, glorious thing I can tell you today is that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And he'll save you just like he saved me and just like he saved all these other children of his through faith in his name. All right, so stand together with me. Brother Bruce, if you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we've had this opportunity that we could come and worship and love and be with you. We pray this morning, Lord, that as we are gathered here today for this homecoming service, that, Lord, you will bless, and that this morning, Lord, we'll remember what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Remind us daily of the great thing that you have done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.